Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight, where we will analyze the psychology of Peyton Gendron, a guy who has been committing a shooting in Buffalo. He was living in the south of the New York State and living in a white family of engineers, and he was white himself, and he has been living in a totally 4chan culture and the type of memes that we know of here at JFG Tonight. You are echoey, JF. Am I? Hello? Test. No, I think it's on your side. Maybe you have two screens opened. I don't see any echo here. So today we analyze the psychology of the shooting. And as we often do, you know, I'm interested in the psychology of violence as a psychologist and as a newsman. So everything I do tonight is news reporting. It's not to apologize or claim that the actions were right, but it's because I want to have a deeper look into the psychology of these shootings. So Peyton Gendron was a 18-year-old young man who was very tech-savvy, like the Zoomers are. You know, he was living in 4chan and live-streaming culture. And he got convinced by certain memes around the fact that the white race is disappearing from North America, from the US, from Europe, and that the white majority stability is threatened. He was convinced that there were replacers from other races who were more successful at maintaining their birth rate, and that there was a fundamental difference genetically and at the level of IQ between the races, and he was worried about the future of America for whites, as they become a minority and eventually are completely genocided off the surface of the earth. So he was also anti-Semitic. He had the perception that this state of affair is caused by the Jewish community, not all of them, but what he refers to as the elite. And he had a particular hate for elites like Mark Zuckerberg, Klaus Schwab, these kinds of guys who have led in their management of our society, who have led to the current state of things for white civilization. I have all of the notes that he has written for the last year and a half. He was keeping a journal, which he published just before doing the shooting. So first, as far as the shooting goes, it was live streamed on Twitch. And so Twitch quickly deleted the live stream, but people have been making backups of it. So I was able to look at the events. He wanted to target the black community. And we see on the live stream, although I will not show images here, we see on the live stream that he starts in a car. He looks at his material, which he has been preparing for months, and we'll see in his notes that there was a lot of thought into how to maximize the killing. He looks at his gun, which is standing on the side, on the passenger side of his car. He drives to the Tops grocery store, which he had identified as a store where there was a high proportion of blacks who he perceives as the replacers. And and so he comes in and he shoots. We see, I think there are two white victims, and I think one of the first person he shoots might be a white female. Basically, it's a place where you see poor people going to the grocery store, it looks like to me. They walk almost zombie-like and not understanding that a shooter is coming toward them, and they advance with their cart and he shoots the people that are outside of the grocery store. There's four of them. Three of them have died, one of them is injured. Then he shoots at the security guard from outside the grocery store, through the glasses of the grocery store, and eventually gets into the grocery store and keeps shooting people, also taking the time to put a second bullet into people who have fallen on the ground. He describes this in his manifesto as to make sure that he maximizes killing. So clearly we had someone who was clear-minded about his goal. This is not a case of a delusional man or a man under psychosis. This is a man who has been fully clear-minded about the reasons why he was doing this. He wanted to, as he describes it, well, he wanted to accomplish a couple of purposes. He's very much like Brendan Tarrant, the guy who in New Zealand had attacked a mosque. He wanted to maximize the impact of his act through live streaming. He wanted to do like Brendan Tarrant, except that in his case, he didn't attack the Muslim community. He attacked the black community. And yeah, that is it. So one aspect that is impressive of this video is that you see him shoot people. And then he goes to a place where someone hid between two cashiers. Someone just laid down so that he wouldn't be seen. And as he comes toward him, he points the gun at him. And the guy says, no, don't shoot me. And he says, oh, okay, sorry. And he doesn't shoot him. And it appears that the reason he doesn't shoot him is that he was white. So it seems that the mentality of Peyton Gendron was to not kill whites if possible, although he had it in his head that there might be a necessity to kill whites on his way. If, for example, one of them would have been a security guard, he would have shot. But in this case of the guy who was laying down between the two cashiers, he said sorry and he went away, signifying that he didn't perceive him as a threat. So basically he was killing black people mostly, but he would also shoot whites only if they constituted a threat. Eventually, we lost the live stream, so the live stream cuts at a certain part, so we don't know what happens then, but apparently he continues his shooting until the police comes in. And as he stepped out of the grocery store walking toward the police, he held the gun to his own head, his neck area apparently. he threatened to kill himself in that way, but he didn't do it, and it was not in his initial intention to die. His view was that if he stays alive first, it is more costly for the government, so he wants to impose maximal cost to the government because he perceives that states are used against us in ways that contribute to the white genocide. And so he removed the gun from his neck, dropped it on the floor. I believe they say he removed his body armor and raised his hand and laid on the floor, and the police have arrested him without shooting him. Lapitop says, how can he believe this is helping his claimed cause? Well, the structure of his belief, based on everything I've read like 1,000 pages since yesterday. So there's a manifesto of 160 pages, and there are notes of 1 year and a half of Discord post. Although they said Discord post, I don't think he was posting onto Discord. I think he just released a document at the very end of it onto Discord. Because if he had posted for a year and a half about documenting his intended shooting, that would have been easy to spot for the Discord team. So I think what's presented as Discord posts are actually notes that he published at the very end. So these notes total about 600 pages, so close to, and then there are some other documents from him that have been from his Reddit post and his comments, which have been archived, so for a total of about 1,000 pages of material. And most of it, most of the images, we see him walking in state parks because he's been training for months and he was doing a lot of hiking, some preparation of his firearms like just preparation of equipment or preparation to see how different bullets feel. He was shooting, practicing the different shooting of the different bullets. So he's been doing a lot of it in state parks. He was driving to a place close to the forest and was walking a lot in the forest. It appears that his operations were along the Pennsylvania-New York border. At times he was crossing state lines. It seems that some of the magazines that he bought were not legal in New York and were legal in Pennsylvania, so that may be one of the reasons why he went in that state. But there may be also other reasons. So he writes, that's a writing that comes from just a few days, my understanding, just a few days before before going on the shooting. It's dated April 21st, so that would be less than 20 days before he did the shooting. He says, "I'll start by saying that it wasn't like I was born knowing I would do this. So expecting me to save up money constantly throughout my youth and continuously train myself is stupid. The time when I really got serious was the beginning of January, so I'll start there. At that time, I had already bought a Mossberg 500 shotgun and ammo, sold many of my military gear and silver at P&J's flea market for cash, and started dieting. One, I should have continued dieting and exercising daily. I stopped due to laziness, and I ended up gaining 10 pounds that I had lost. Two, I should have picked," and then he makes some comment about different types of armor and plates and guns that he should have used, but in any case. Firestarter says, "Crossing state lines?" Yes, the meme is back. Justed says, "Jeff, do you believe all these shooters' words were written by him?" I see no reason not to believe this. He's taken means to stream this. He's taken means to release a manifesto. I think we should, and it seems like it fits his personality and his other writings. There doesn't seem to me to be foul play here. There is a point in his notes, although not in the manifesto, but there is a point in his note in which he says he is ashamed that he has taken so much from Brendan Tarrant. And he says, "I'm ashamed when I look back at the manifesto because I realize I haven't added much independent things to it, but you guys will know as you read it what's mine and what's his." So he knew very well that he was very much a copycat of Brendan Tarrant. And so yes, I don't think it was written by someone else. That would be very surprising to me. Now he's an 18-year-old person who believes and swims very much in the memes of the alt-right, as it would be described, but who himself is not a right-winger. I've seen his psychological test, both on hate values and the political compass. He's an authoritarian leftist. He is for the state, and he is for authoritarianism. He's not a free market kind of guy. He's not a libertarian. He is someone who believes that we must impose through force and through the strength of the state a certain state of society. On his eight values, I'll show you the images. So, well, first, I have a couple of images from his writings that I can show you. So this is what he ate the morning he went for the shooting. So that was the date of the shooting, I believe, was yesterday. he ate corned beef hash. I know that the potatoes seem undercooked. I would normally want to fry the potato a little more. But corned beef hash is what he ate, and he seemed to be enjoying that type of thing, McDonald's. And that's why he had different moments of his training and life where he was gaining weight and losing weight by dieting. Thomas Howard says, how do we know so much about this guy in one day and so little about what happened in Las Vegas after all these years? Almost like the full file was released for public consumption. Well, there's a difference between a Zoomer shooter and a Boomer shooter. The Zoomer shooter lives in the internet world. The Zoomer shooter will have taken means to publicize and to record things in a Word document. That's not the kind of thing I would expect from a, what was he, 50, 60-year-old man. Someone who's connected to internet culture will be much more responsive and much more readily interpretable by the standards of internet culture. So I'm not surprised personally. This is a photo of Peyton Gendron at his school. There's a couple of days at his school where he had decided to wear the full hazmat suit. And I'm wondering if this guy had been watching my show, because you can see him with exactly the kind of gloves that I had recommended in my show. Those are the gloves I recommended for completing the end part of hazmat suits. Otherwise, he has a different gas mask type. It's a N95 side filter type of mask with full seal around the head and a little hat integrated to the bodysuit. This is pretty advanced stuff. Kovi Killer Clown says, looks like he'd be trolling. Well, he had these bizarre behaviors, including leading him to be imprisoned in the psychiatric hospital for about 20 hours after he had answered to a survey at his class, and they were asking, what do you want to do when you retire? And he had written, shoot people. And so he explained it away at the hospital to the psychiatrist. He was quite shocked by how little process there was after it. He wasn't even put on a checklist of any kind or put on a list that would keep him from buying a gun. He just said to the psychiatrist, I didn't think about what I was writing, and I was careless, and I just wrote it. It wasn't a real threat, and they let him go. He said, overall, he waited 20 hours to eventually just speak to a person, to a psychologist, for like 15 minutes, and then they let him go. Yes, someone sent a super chat on entropy. I'll get to it, the optimistic pessimist. By the way, if you'd like to support the show, I do documentation of ongoing news event and in-depth review and analysis of the events as they happen. If you like this, support the show by using the hyper chat option on Odyssey. It's the dollar button right below the regular chat. Or as an alternative, you can do like the optimistic pessimist and send us a entropy super chat. The link is in the video description below. The optimistic pessimist says, do you believe mental illness as a classification is legitimate or as societal value from an evolutionary perspective? I don't believe it is. I believe that mental illness has inherently to it an aspect of normocentrism. That is, we catch in those psychiatric descriptions of people, we catch people who differ from the norm. And if you differ from the norm in how much hallucinations you have, you're a schizophrenic. If you differ, if you differ from the norm in how much you like social relationships, you are autistic. But what we're really capturing with this should be best described as a variation within humanity, a variation of the range of different types of cognition. And evolutionarily, precisely, this is the reason why we would want to avoid having this good and bad view, this needs fixing, or this is an illness. It's because who knows what are the future ecologies in which a certain cognitive type of humanity could better survive than the current normocentric type. So you don't know, maybe being autistic is very good in year 3000. And because you don't know this, and also because, you know, the artists have done nothing to hurt anyone, and it would be unfair to judge them as a group for the actions of any individual. If there is an artist who commits a crime, then it's the crime that's the problem. It's not the artist. So for these reasons, and also from the evolutionary perspective, I would recommend having untainted language around mental illness rather than see it as good or bad. Prefer to see it as a measure of variation. Now, there's the legitimate classification of psychiatric types in humanity. It would be one that is strictly scientific in nature, one that just seeks to describe humanity. And then, yes, there are people who are more autistic. There are people who are more schizophrenic. But that's what it should remain. It shouldn't be like, oh, you're schizophrenic, then we can force something on you, or we can exclude you from society. Or it should be the case that if you're schizophrenic, so be it. We look at your behavior. If your behavior is criminal, we get you in jail for criminal behavior. Bad boy says, Jeff, did you mention that the shooter was vaxxed? I didn't get to it yet, but we'll get to it. He is an 18-year-old man, so although he had strong opinions on certain things, and he was familiar with the memes, and he had himself a conception that the whole COVID stuff was a scam run by the elites to control the world. However, he did get vaccinated twice and mentions in his notes that he always regretted it, and that he even had the impression that he had heart problems during his training. Sometimes he was jogging and he was feeling that his heart, it was harder for his heart, and he attributed it to the vaccine. He thought maybe it's the vaccine. We won't ever know, but certainly he had a regret to have fell for the societal discourse there. But it may be that it was necessary to his college attendance. He doesn't mention exactly at least in what I've read, I didn't see a full justification for why he got it, but somehow he got it and then regretted it. So here's the characterization of his values. Now, this is a test that he ran more than a year ago, and he ran it again 4 months ago, and he changed. So the whole preparation for his shooting has left a recordable trace on making him basically more fascistic. You can see that he was at 69.9% equality and 30% markets. And during the training for the shooting, he had a little more drive for equality and a little less drive for markets. It should be said that this shooter, Peyton Gendron, perceives his action as being a sacrifice of his own good for the good of his race. So he doesn't see him as elevating himself as an individual. In fact, he anticipates that he will pay a very high price for his actions. But he understands, in the way he understands it, he's paying this price as a sacrifice to help his own race. On the diplomatic axis, he was patriotic, nationalist already, but during the training, 4 months ago, he becomes even more nationalistic. On the axis of liberty, he was a statist already at 61% authority versus liberty. He becomes even more authoritarian 4 months ago, with 73.8% authority. And on the societal axis, he was. So this is an important one because the societal axis, well, they call it the societal axis, but it's really, I call it the anarcho-primitivist axis because it's all between tradition and progress. And if you're a real anarcho-primitivist, it will show in this record here. And what's amazing is that there's a lot of trace that he was very much familiar with Ted Kaczynski. Parts of his manifesto are copy-pasted from Ted Kaczynski's manifesto. and he was calling Ted Kaczynski something, don't quote me on the words exactly, but something like good old Ted. So he was very much pro-Ted Kaczynski, and there is some talk in his manifesto around concerns around the environment and how we are over-consuming and capitalism is pushing us to over-consumption and it's not sustainable and we'll have to find more sustainable. But despite all this writing, he's not an anarcho-primitivist. If you look at my societal axis test, I think I'm 80% tradition and only 20% progress. He's 50-50. So he hasn't really integrated the Ted Kaczynski discourse to the point of understanding that technology is truly evil and that it is it is threatening our existence. Tillman says, Jeff, did you read the Daily Mail article about him? I may have sifted it through at the beginning of my research, but very quickly in my research, I try to find the places where I can find primary sources that come from him. Again, this doesn't change through his training for the shooting. He remains a neutral on the societal axis, so very much for our traditional culture, but accepts the progress of technology and accepts the progress of informatics. So he had two parents who seemed relatively well off. They were engineers, both of them, and he was himself studying to become an engineer, although not particularly successful in his studies. Incel, says Dino Legovic. He says on the question of incels, I do not qualify as an incel because I do not qualify as desiring a romantic relationship to begin with. So I guess you could classify him as too young to tell, too young to have the drive to really have a relationship, and that results in him basically not facing rejection because he never tried and didn't want to try. The North Owl says, that's cope. Maybe it is. Covey Clown sends two super chats. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, JF, thank you for your work, professor? Interrogation mark. Covey is fixed. Watch out for red flag laws. They took my gun when I was crying and told the doctor I was going to kill myself from extreme spinal pain. Oh, yes. Everything around violence or guns or intent, if you share it with doctors, they will notice the state and you will get your guns taken away from you. Never think that the whole classical thought of, the psychologist's couch being this restricted space and private space, it won't happen. If you give any sign that you are self-suicidal or violent, they will use it against you. Covey Clown says, this kid could have helped other white kids, etc. Maybe seems like he may have had high IQ, but with that curse, he can't go along with other. Please get TTS. I don't know what TTS means. I'll have to Google it. TTS, what is it? Text-to-speech. You want me to have subtitles? Is that it? Yeah, I mean, I don't know how it works on Odyssey. I guess there are no subtitles. It would be a good feature, but I won't get it. We'll have to have Odyssey do this, and maybe one day they will. I think it's very useful. On the political compass, no doubt this guy was not a right-winger. He doesn't even qualify as libertarian. He is above the center of the authoritarian libertarian axis. So this is much more a leftist guy who had been influenced with memes about race that widely circulate in the right wing, but he wasn't a right winger. This is a leftist shooter, very much leftist. By the way, I'm center right libertarian. I'm about here. I think I'm about here. So he's totally at the opposite quadrant of a libertarian right winger of my type. You have to be leftist a lot to end up here. I mean, short of being a full-blown communist, you are pretty much a socialist when you're there. And he's also an authoritarian, so doesn't have issues imposing his will on the world. This probably explains his action. You know, I wouldn't go out on a shooting because I don't care about fixing people, or even if I was to perceive that they are headed in the wrong way, I don't care about changing society. He did. That's a picture of him and his many walks in the park. The only legitimate use that he did of his firearm without a beside training was that he shot a deer once, and I think here he was tracking steps on the snow of some animal. He was often spending time in nature, training, losing weight. On the question of Ukraine, he commented because he received a letter from the Air Force Reserve recruiter because he had passed a test to see if he qualified for the Air Force. And he had pretty good scores, 96 in electronics, 86 in overall quantitative test score, 88 in administrative, 78 in mechanical, 84 in general. And they were saying that he qualifies and he's great and he's getting the credits that he was looking for. And he responded, "I'm honored, Mr. Air Force Reserve, but I'm not dying for Ukraine, laughing my ass off." So he was very much in the conception that I cannot fight for the American army because the American army is a slave to the interest of other nations, and in the current times it is Ukraine, but in other times it has been Israel, and particularly Israel as it relates to its positioning in the Middle East. So he has plenty of memes that I cannot review on the screen, but he uses in his manifesto plenty of N-words, K-words. He is very much in genuine 4chan culture. And he has a detailed, a relatively detailed understanding of the arguments for the existence of race, the argument on genetic variation, and how if we were a bunch of wolves, we would have defined subspecies in humanity a long time ago. But just because we're humans, we say, oh, the human race. He notes the ridicule of just how precise we are at distinguishing between subspecies in other species, but when it comes to ourselves, we somehow become in denial. He's very much aware of the PCA graphs distinguishing the races within humanity, the distinctions genetically. He uses a lot of memes that show this evidence. He's very much aware of the IQ question and the levels of intelligence within humanity. He has a lot of statements about this. So I have isolated a couple of statements that come from more than a year from here, more than a year back, and I will be reading these statements because they show us the history of the guy and how he come to be what he is now, which is a shooter, motivated by the interest of the white race. So he says, "I spent 20 hours in a hospital's emergency room on May 28, 2021." So that's about a year ago. "This was because I answered murder slash suicide to the question, 'What do you want to do when you retire?' on an online assignment in my economics class. This experience only helped to prove my belief that people, even certified doctors, are not concerned about helping you. I've had many dreams about that since I got out. If you weren't mentally ill before, you will be after. One of my worst nights of my life was during those 20 hours. I was quite delirious during that night, and all my dreams were me trying to sleep in the hospital with two chairs next to each other. Reality didn't seem to exist. I was thinking of a personal attack against the Replacers at this point, and I had watched the Christchurch mass shooting a few weeks previously and began reading up on his motives and beliefs. If Brendan Tarrant didn't livestream his actions that day, then I don't think I would be writing this as I do currently. So he is very categorical on this. It is the live streaming of Brendan Tarrant that influenced him to become a shooter. And he says he wouldn't have done it if if it wasn't of this. On October 12, 2021, so about 8 months ago, he says, I doubt my abilities every day. I doubt myself many times a day about my ability to carry on this attack. The closest thing I've ever done was shoot a deer during hunting season. But a person with emotions and a life beyond what I can see, with friends, family, people who care about them, this has so much greater importance than a deer that has only lived a few years. They are a type of human, and they do have a purpose. Not when they're... And then he has a lot of statements about how he considers black people have replaced or are about to replace the white race in America. I would like to say I had quite a normal childhood before 18 years old, but that is not the case. I don't have many friends or really that much importance to my family. I never could give real answers to who do you look up to, because I don't have anyone to look up to. What holds me back from this attack? Nothing but myself. There's the problem. So there are reports of people who knew him, who had worked with him, and who had who were living close to him, and it's a report done by many different people who say you wouldn't get more than a word or two from him. He was a loner. He self-defines as an artist, and an artist who has superior ability to the average people, but he was not a guy to interact much socially. He says, it's funny how things just magically work together. It seems all my life has been building up to this attack. Everyone I met, everything I did, every place I went, it all had some kind of influence. It doesn't seem statistically possible, but yet here it stands. For example, playing Apocalypse Rising on Roblox gave me interest in survival and guns, which led me to hunting and shooting, which gave me tinnitus and deeper interest in firearms. Every single thing that happened influenced this attack. It was like this was what I was meant to do in life. On December 21st, 2021, he says, it would be really embarrassing if I get domed in the first few moments of the attack. All this work just for some undercover cop or vigilante to kill me instantly. That's the thing I worry most about, actually, the unsuspecting civilian that can rightfully defend themselves. Making it more difficult for civilians to defend themselves is unconstitutional and dangerous. I already have illegal AR-15 mags, and I got those from pure luck of being in the right place at the right time. I dislike interacting with other people considerably. When I was walking into the gun shops today, I felt very stressed when talking to the shop owners. This happens multiple times, including strangers who talk to me and even my professors at college. One of the fascinating things that I read in his notes is how he funded this whole enterprise, including the purchasing of his GoPro cam to live stream the events and his whole armor and setup. He funded this by selling silver. So he had apparently a stash of silver. He sells it at different points in times, and sometimes it's $300, but other times it's something like $3,600 that he has in cash and plus 1,000 in his bank account. So somehow this is a mass shooter of the silver market. People, I don't know if you'll remember, but 6 months ago, there was this whole talk around silver and silver will blow up, JF. And I was like, I don't think so. But it seems that he has been heavily funded by selling his physical silver, which he had stashed. He had it in different forms, sometimes in coins and sometimes in just lingot or however, you know, the big bouts of it. But he was always selling it at the flea market for cash. Fractal Man says, just listening in the background, but great breakdown, JF, thanks. No problem. It's my job. I'm happy to do it. So, yes, silver has been contributing to a budget for this shooting of about $5,000, $6,000. Maybe a little more if you consider that he had already some of the equipment that he used. He had three guns, I believe. One AR-15 type, one that was more like a sniper look-alike, and one that was more a shotgun, but I believe that he ended up only using the AR-15 modified, which has a particular name, but I won't get into these details, but basically an AR-15, but of a certain style with certain add-ons, which he names in his manifesto, but I haven't remembered this as an important detail. On January 25, 2022, so that's his first, so we're now entering the 2022 period, so 4 months ago, he says, corporate capitalism will be humanity's downfall if not controlled soon. Planned obsolescence, environmental damage caused by pollutants, current mindset of always wanting more. This works in the short term and is great for the economy, but destroys the physical earth. This will have to change. So that's where we see a little bout of Ted Kaczynski-esque type of influence here. But and one would wonder, why doesn't it show up on his personality test? I would conclude that he was probably too young, and that perhaps if he had grown to be 25, 30 years old, perhaps he would have become more of an anarcho-primitivist as he entered more into the Ted Kaczynski type of thinking. But I think that being 18-year-old, probably he didn't have the time to figure out all of the consistencies that are required to, like when you follow these thoughts to their logical conclusion, you end up an anarcho-primitivist. But it takes a lot of time. I wasn't an anarcho-primitivist at 18 years old, so it's not surprising that he is not either. Kovi Clown sends another super chat on entropy. Thank you so much. He says, TTS is a feature on Odyssey. It reads the speech for money and different voices. Very funny. Shout out to Mama JF. Still there. Ever go on Killstream? Please interview Adam Green. I once wrote to Adam Green, but I don't remember him responding back in the public space days. Perhaps I can try again. As far as text-to-speech for super chats, I am very hesitant to do this because people can use this feature to put hate speech on the show and to put me in trouble. And whenever they do, that would mean I have to edit it out of the show at night. Although it's easier to do this on Odyssey. I could be doing this on Odyssey. Is something off with the audio, a delay, or am I losing my mind? I don't know, bro. Maybe try resetting the show. I don't have evidence here that there should be anything wrong on my side. One other super chat from Cloud Warmer. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, if you want to make a change in demographics, you need to make yourself as desirable as possible and then create as many babies as you possibly can. You could even ignore income requirements. If you wanted to be a burden on the system, you should have aimed for at least 15 kids on welfare benefits. Well, that is one way most people look at it. Most people don't end up shooting people. But he took a different path, and I don't know if it was a consequence of maturity or perhaps him not liking at all the romantic market. There are some comments that he does about women, which may explain some of the reason why, although he doesn't qualify as an incel by his standard, he probably was alarmed at the state of feminism today. Here's a segment where he's talking about how race came in as a way for people to pose as victims, you know, and he says that the same thing would happen with feminism, or has happened. He says we're 100% going to see the same problems as with feminism too, which makes it extra frustrating. Anyone who has been frustrated with feminism for a long time is cringing hard at the same exact problems being enacted with regards to race. Girls are given preferential treatment in school and are graded higher just for being girls. Women receive all sorts of programs and policies aimed specifically at women when they come to college. Women outnumber men in college by an extreme amount. Young women outearn young men significantly in the workforce, and so on. Yet despite all these things, programs and policies continue to be made to benefit women at the expense of men, despite them already being ahead, quotation mark, so to speak. Feminism continues to brainwash people into thinking that women being disadvantaged is a perpetual state of being, so despite women being objectively advantaged in these areas, they continue to be given more and more advantages. It's only a matter of time before we get to the same place with race. We'll get to a point where white people are objectively, provably disadvantaged due to their race, and yet the common sentiment will still be that white privilege is rampant, and that black people need more and more privileges given to them in order to fix the issue. But at that point in time, black people will already be absurdly advantaged. It's so frustrating to see this shit play out yet again. So here we have someone who feels that the current world is not responsive to the state of reality, that the world keeps favoring female as a disadvantaged minority, when in fact they are an advantage majority, really. And the same is happening with race. And he's right, there is no system of adjustment of all these racial privileges that we're developing in current society. There is nothing that can stop it once it's in place. There's nothing that will make all these awards that are meant specifically for women in tech or women in science. There's no point at which these organizations say, all right, we've accomplished our goal. Women are now the majority of hiring and the majority of people in that field. And so we're done. It never happens. What happens is a constant overstepping of the boundary until it's not even worth it for males to pursue these activities. So this may have been on his mind, Cloud Warmer, in terms of turning him off from the sexual market and driving him toward violence. He also speaks about, so he's very disappointed at the fact that he can see the truth about race. He can see the truth about the reality of white people as a genetic cluster of humanity, and that yet the media is acting like it doesn't exist. One comment that he does on January 27th, that's he's starting here to describe everything that he receives in terms of delivery and equipment for the shooting. He says, got the sardines in the mail today. I don't know what the sardines are. I guess some kind of thing around the hair or something. He says, I was sadly anticipating this, but I ordered a foam ear cups instead of the gel cups. There wasn't any mention of the cups in the description, and after I bought them, I was worried that it might not have been the gel cups. Oh well, I'm losing like $15 when I ship this back and hopefully get the full return. I did try it on first and it is quite comfy under my helmet. It took a minute to get to the chin strap over it, but it felt so much better than my old Walker's headset. The Walker's headset is quite big at the top portion and makes it difficult to slide under a helmet. The Sardines, however, fit perfectly and I didn't feel any pinch points on my head. When I put the glasses on, I could feel that it pinches the section above my ear a bit, but overall not too bad. I discussed earlier about upgrading a headset with Noise Fighters gel ear pads. These have a cutout at the top that is supposed to hold eye protection without breaking the seal between the ear cups and the head, therefore reducing discomfort and increasing noise reduction. Only problem I could think of and look up is that the glasses don't naturally fit onto the head. It would instead be just above where it would normally be. I heard about one person on YouTube saying that it's strange at first, but when they stop noticing it. But eventually they stop noticing it. Perhaps lifespan of the ear cups is another issue, since they do shrink and it costs like $50 to replace it. That just shows a part of his manifesto, and it's a large part. It's hundreds, it's perhaps 100 pages just of the manifesto, and also hundreds of pages of his Discord post that show an extreme detailing of everything he does. And he is very well-informed and clear-minded about why certain armor plates are preferable, the comfort aspect. He has researched this very deeply in terms of reviewing all of the material, and it shows to me a kind of autistic personality, very detail-oriented, very expressive about all of the details, to the point where there are vast sections of the manifesto I felt like I could definitely skip from a psychological standpoint, because it's just like, okay, here's the detail about how to strap this armor and that armor. Okay, interesting to show the kind of cognition we have here. On January 30, 2022, he says, another bad experience. Oh no, this one I read earlier. So where he describes the bad experience that he had in the hospital. But then he comments later in that post, this proved to me that the US healthcare system is a joke. If the intention here is to help people heal, then they are doing a very shitty job doing it. I know it doesn't seem very significant, but to me it was. My current beliefs started when I was first started to use 4chan a few months after COVID started, many of which I got from 4chan's /poll page and links found in /NSG and threads like that. In before, people come and say, he got radicalized on 4chan, lol 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 lol. Although many threads are utter shitposts of trash quality, I feel there are many problems of the world being addressed that are not popular or talked about on regular media. White genocide is real when you look at data, but is not talked about on popular media outlets. I think this is connected to global homo propaganda and the capitalist quotation mark agenda for a new world order. Did I mention I also browse /X? A lot of people were saying, oh, it's a Fed operation for sure, because he's just bringing in 4chan to smear them. No, it seems to me like he's genuinely integrated the culture of 4chan. And I don't do conspiracy theories that have no support to it. It's much more easy for me to believe what's in front of us rather than believe a whole conspiracy for which there is no support. I will not believe that this is a Fed operation until I see evidence of it. What I see is a lone guy who had integrated 4chan culture and why would that be wrong? Like prove me wrong. He says on February 17th, 2022, I can't think straight or do physical exercise. I'm so tired. I cook some corned beef hash and potato onion mix for the last 2 hours. Put it in the fridge for tomorrow and following meals. I think it's the COVID vaccine. I wish I never got it. Tomorrow I get out early, so I'll work all day on my manifesto and do more research on the place of attack. Saturday, I'll do an all-day trip at State Lands trying to get good. Sunday, I'll maybe go to Rochester. So that was February, so 3 months ago. And he had a long period where he had COVID. He also posted the test that proves that he had COVID. He tested positive for COVID after 2 vaccines that he got. So he proved that he was positive for COVID, but he also thinks that some of the health aspects that he's suffering from are from the vaccine. So that was in February, and it delayed his training and his plan for attack. There are several days where he seems like he was probably ready for the attack, but he reports, "Oh, I saw my grandmother on the way there. I should be more careful." There are other times where he's sick and he's like, "I would have done it today, but I'm too sick." So COVID hit him hard for about a month or two. And in fact, even after it was resolved, he says he still experienced some fatigue related to it. And at some point during his COVID reports, his notes, he says, "I might just have to do the shooting sick," because at some point he was ready to do the shooting, but was delaying it merely for the fact that he was suffering from COVID. So that's it for the Discord notes that I had from him. One other thing is he has passed the popular MBTI test of personality, so we can get better documentation of it. And here are his results. Let me... So he has the exact same type of personality as I do. Architect. Int JT. He is 100% introverted, 65% intuitive, 89% thinking over feeling, 75% judging over prospecting, and 54% turbulent over assertive. So it's we get a documentation of further psychological aspects of his. So the architect personality is one where you are leading, organizing, but intellectual in the process. So you are a thinker, but not a thinker that isolates himself and lives in his own world. A thinker and a doer in some way. The architects are thinkers and doers. Pineapple Platypotamus says, "Yep, JF is gullible on this one, but it's a respectable gullibilism. Nicholas Petrus says, "Just that you know by now that generally JF is extremely hesitant / reluctant to entertain conspiracy theories or such." Well, we do have to apply the Occam's razor, you know, no matter what the situation is, we have to stick to our principle. Now, someone says, "JF, aren't you int TP?" What's the difference between int P and int G? I don't know the details of this, but what I know is that I had the architect pop out when I did the personality test, so I had the exact same guy, if I remember correctly. But what are the MBTI personalities? I'll check the 16 personality types. Don't they have the image? Okay, so INJ is the inspector, INTP is the thinker, And int j is the architect. Well, no, I can confirm I was not a thinker. I was not the int p, although I'm a thinker, it's true, but I'm an architect because probably I have this, you know, my care for intellectualism has to realize itself in the world. I'm very much a man of ID, but I don't live in a theoretical world. When it comes down to it, even in the theoretical world, I want to accomplish things, I want to build things. I want to lead our ideas to get to a certain place, which is what I've done when I published The Revolutionary Phenotype. I think it's those aspects of my personality that distinguish me from the thinker, purely thinker. Although, you know, most of the day, that's what I do, I think. So that is it for our review of the life of Peyton Gendron. In summary, we have someone who was a leftist authoritarian who had put in his mind a lot of memes from the so-called far right, but he's basically a leftist who was convinced about certain ideas as it relates to the existence of white people and the fact that white people are under attack and the fact that the media is mocking this view and treating it as a conspiracy when in fact it is real. And he perceived these attacks and saw that thought that the only solution for him to have a significant impact in this attack on white people was to undertake a killing that would make him known and that would bring attention to his manifesto of other people who could potentially copy him eventually, because he saw himself as he wouldn't have ended up being a shooter if it wasn't of Brendan Tarrant, and he wanted to be the Brendan Tarrant of people in the future. He wanted to inspire further shootings. So those are the psychological things about him. And he says that he wants to plead guilty. That's in his manifesto. However, in the court, he has had a lawyer beside him, and for now he has pleaded not guilty. But this could only be a temporary thing before the lawyer gets to know him, because he seemed pretty determined in his manifesto to plead guilty. I think the idea of this guy is he wants to leave a legacy, and he sees, what is the best thing I can do to leave that legacy? And if I start pleading that I was mentally unhealthy, it would be like disavowing my own beliefs. And so he wants to show that he's not disavowing his own beliefs, and he understands that he will be imprisoned for the rest of his life. But he still chose to do that, knowing that he would get imprisoned for the rest of his life. And he wants to plead guilty because he wants to show an image of himself, leave an image and a legacy of himself as having stood by his action. So that's totally in line with the early evidence collected by the police, which indicate that he didn't resist arrest, and he explained all of his racial motivations to the policeman. So it seems like a pretty clean story in terms of this conclusion. Firestarter says, JF, can I link the video and manifesto here? If you do for journalistic purposes, I will let you do it. Don't accompany your... maybe you can add to the comment, this is for journalistic and news reporting reasons. That would seem fair. And if Odyssey doesn't like it, of course they can delete it. But if you do it for documentary purposes and you say, I do not advocate for the ideas contained therein, I think there, personally, I will not delete the manifesto. And because we have to be in line with the rules of Odyssey, and Odyssey is fine with us reporting news, which is great because YouTube isn't. I mean, you couldn't even link anything on YouTube. They just destroy any link. It seems that Odyssey is more open as long as we don't advocate for the content, but we report it as a news item. Buffalo 10 people were killed during a mass shooting Saturday afternoon at a Buffalo grocery store. I believe that the current count is 13 people shot, 11 dead, 2 people injured. Of the 13 people shot, 11 were black, 2 were white. And that reflects the area that Peyton Gendron had been selecting. One other detail I haven't talked about tonight is that Peyton Gendron was a local actor. He got hired for, well, hired. He participated to a school project in which it was a theater project. And he was performing one of the roles. And in his notes, he talks of meeting again with the main actor of this play, because Peyton had been praised for his performance as an actor in this play. People had really loved him and had written comments on the Facebook post of this play. They said that his performance was stunning. And he talks of meeting again years later, perhaps, or maybe months later, with the main actor of this theater piece. And he was very warm to him, hugged him, and said, "Hey, how are you doing? People are talking about you in the computer class. We'd like to see you again." So that's after he had left college because he didn't attend. He had too much missed attendance to his courses, so they kicked him out of college. But his original plan was to stay in college to maintain not a perfect grade, but maybe a C average, he says, just not to alert people and so that people don't develop suspicions, and also to keep his brain healthy. But yeah, eventually he said that it was rare that someone was as warm to him as this main actor was, and that he would say that other human beings wanted to see him again. He was very moved by this, and he said it had been a very long time since someone said that to him. "Go away," says JF. "This story is pretty tragic. I'm so glad Susan Wojcicki's changes to the YouTube algorithm over the past few years were able to de-radicalize me. Thank God." Well, I think that Go Away is trolling here, because certainly these algorithms seem not to have worked here. Because among other things, he was training a lot by watching YouTube videos. Watching YouTube videos around military equipment. And his greatest fear was that there would be a failure. You know, he looked at, there was one shooting at a synagogue. I don't remember the details of it. But there was this stunning aspect to a couple of shootings alongside this one, where there were very little victims, and very often the victims were very old, and he mocked these kind of missed attempts at shootings or shootings that didn't have much effect long term. He was very afraid of making an error because he was young and not super trained. He was very afraid that his performance would be low. So he had dramatically a kind of anxiety performance around this shooting. He was scared, and that's why he trained a lot, and that's why he got lots of information on how to protect himself. And when you think about it, it seems that, according to this article, that the security guard who died trying to stop him has shot 3 times in his direction. But it seems that his body armor was able to handle the shots. So his defensive equipment did operate in this case and did help him further his shooting. Buffalo mass shooter cites great replacement theory and New York's heavy gun laws in manifesto. One other aspect that, and so that's a photo of him as he's being processed in the judiciary system. He said, "I understand my charges. He pleaded not guilty and was revoked bail. But I think that he's going to head toward a guilty plea eventually. I think it's just a reflection. Perhaps his lawyer told him right now it's not the time to plead guilty. But I think that at the end he's going to plead guilty. He was pretty decided about this. And he had this comment on New York's heavy gun laws. Basically, he was looking for a place for the shooting where there was heavy gun laws, and he thinks that those places, it's less likely that the people or the security guards will be equipped with high-capacity magazines, and so therefore it makes his job easier as a shooter. Meanwhile, in the other news for tonight, and we'll be headed toward the conclusion of the show, Go Away says, is anyone else experiencing a lag between video and audio? There's a handful of people who have experienced this tonight. Try to refresh the screen by clicking on Shift and then Refresh with your mouse, the Refresh button, if you're on Google Chrome. And this should totally restart the stream for you, and you should be good. Biden oil and gas lease sale cancellations draw strong reactions. As gas prices continue to break records, the Biden's administration cancellation of two lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico and one lease sale in Alaska's Cook Inlet has drawn clashing responses, including an accusation that the administration is blatantly lying. So we are at extreme cost of gas, and it seems that the White House is making it worse. And there's also been a shooting, although there's not much detail coming out, but it seems that there was a mass shooting at a church in Southern California. The shooting happened at an unnamed church on the 24,000 block of El Toro Road in the city of Laguna Woods, the Orange County Sheriff's Department said on Twitter. We have detained one person and have recovered a weapon that may be involved, but we don't have insight into the motivations of the shooter at this moment. And finally, a last news item before we conclude. Chile prohibits discrimination against mutants and genetically altered people. That was from February, but I had not covered it. Looking bad for the revolutionary phenotype, it seems that the people who start modifying genetically themselves will be protected by law in certain nations. Not a good idea. Not a good idea, because you're going to create the situation for the revolutionary phenotype to be favored over DNA-based humans. We must stop this before it starts. That is it for tonight, boys. Tomorrow we have Ryan Dawson. Someone was saying, JF, you should invite Ryan Dawson. Well, he's coming on the show tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and we'll talk about Ukraine and what's the state of progress on this war, which has been very slow. Much love. Tillman says, JF, the show has been great, very little buffering. I'm happy. It seems that there are some problems with audio, video coordination sometimes, and sometimes audio not being there at all. But it seems that the buffering issue has been put under control by Odyssey, so it's going to get better and better. That's it for tonight. Much love, and see you all tomorrow.